ladies that would like to head out to the Bible study tonight. Appreciate Miss Jan and the efforts that she has put forth for that. Looking forward to their time together tonight. And for those that remain in the auditorium, you can take your Bibles and travel with me to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter number 1. Joshua chapter 1. We'll go there and get there in just a few moments. It'll probably take them about 25 minutes to get down and settle tonight, so I might need to... Brother Rob is there at the back, and he has sheets available for our study tonight. If you would like one, you can slip up your hand, and he will seek to work his way around to the different ones and give you a sheet there. He's working his way down. Anyone else that needs a sheet there? There's one down here in the front, Brother Rob. Right down here towards the front, a couple there. Anyone over here to my left, did you guys all get them? Everybody good? All right. Anyone back over here to my right, you guys good? All right. We've got people in the far reaches all the way across the auditorium tonight, so we'll make sure you get a sheet there. Thank you so much for doing that. Each Wednesday night, we'll try to have a sheet available for you for the study, and it will normally be out there on the... welcome desk, so if you'd like to pick that up on your way in, I hope that you'll recall that and be a blessing to you. A number of months ago, we did our study called the Red Sea Rules, and it is the time frame for the children of Israel as they were right there against the Red Sea, and Pharaoh's army is pressing in on them. And they are on the escape route, if you would, and looking to escape Egypt, looking to escape bondage, looking to escape the certain slaughter that could have come to many of them. And they're right there at the edge of the Red Sea, and they could do nothing else but throw up their hands and say, what now? The GPS led them to the water's edge. God's directionary signal led them to the water's edge. We looked at those 10 Red Sea rules. I'll rehearse them just quickly for you. Red Sea rule number 1 was realize that God means for you to be where you are. Number 2, be more concerned for God's glory than you are for your relief. And even as I say that tonight, I don't know how many times I think, you know, Lord, you've got to remind me of that over and over and over again, because so often I want my own relief. Rule number 3, acknowledge your enemy, but keep your eyes on the Lord. So this is all kind of a mindset towards the enemy is pressing in on them. Rule number 4, pray. Oh my, how I fail to communicate with the Lord on the basis upon which I should. I'm quick to do other things, but how often am I quick to take something before the Lord? Red Sea rule number 5 was stay calm and confident and give God time to work. Red Sea rule number 6, when unsure, just take the next logical step of faith. Red Sea rule number 7 was envision God's enveloping presence. Can you imagine what it was like to cross on the dry ground of the bed of the Red Sea? Something that had never been seen before and would be unlikely to ever be seen again, as far as that dry bed. And you can only imagine what it was like to see the fish swim up to the edge. And you probably saw them in that, and they're passing through on dry ground. And envision God's enveloping presence. God was with them each step of the way. Number 8, trust God to deliver in His own unique way. Number 9, view your current crisis as a faith builder for the future. How often are we able to look back at other events in the past and say, you know, I saw God work there, and I know that God will work on my behalf. Red Sea rule number 10 then was don't forget to praise Him. And boy, we have that wonderful chapter at the conclusion of the crossing of the Red Sea and the destruction of Pharaoh's army. And they have that wonderful chapter of praise, chapter 15. We now turn our attention to a much different need. It's still the need to cross over a waterway. The Red Sea, vast and very significant. But they're in a pressure cooker at the time, if you would, because they seemingly have no place to go, and yet the armies of Pharaoh are pressing in on them. And so it seems like, God, this has to happen now. Well, God did bring about the miracle, and He worked the miracle. But with the Jordan River, we don't have any enemy that's pressing in. We don't have anyone that's pressing on them. We don't have the same earnest nature to what was happening with the Red Sea. And I might say it to you this way, they could have reached where they were and called it the land of retirement. My wife every day asks me, how soon can you retire? How soon can you retire? I keep telling her that it's years away. She said, what do you mean years away? And I was like, well, it's years away, all right? It's probably getting further away as we get more and more need in the Social Security fund, right? So I'll be able to retire when I'm 78, I think is probably what we're tracking towards now, right? It would have been easy for Israel to say, hey, there's no one pressing in on us. This seems like a wonderful area. Let's just stay put. Let's just be content. Let's just stay put. But when we come to the edge of the Jordan River, we understand that while the Red Sea was about escaping from the enemy, the need to cross over the Jordan is for this purpose. God wants us to enjoy the land of blessing. Now, I know we often sing the old-time hymns, and in the old-time hymns, they often refer to crossing Jordan as though we're going to heaven. And on Jordan's stormy banks, I look, and they'll talk about being on the other side of the Jordan, or welcome to the promised land, and it's referred to as heaven. And it's, my point is not to have us change those songs and everything like this, but in truth, we have to understand that Jordan and the promised land is not a picture of heaven because there are no enemies in heaven. There are no more enemies to conquer. There are no more difficulties to overcome. But when they crossed over Jordan, they realized that it was going to eventually be the land of spiritual blessing. But they were going to have to do some things. They were going to have to fight for the land of spiritual blessing. And so we're here on this side, and we recognize that while we know Christ as our Savior, and we could be absolutely content with where we are, God wants us to cross Jordan into the land of spiritual blessing. And He wants us to go across to enjoy that place that He has for us. So when we come to the Jordan River, we have the Red Sea rules, yes. Guidance by Almighty God for the protection from the enemy. But now, we want to see God take us to the next level. I don't know anything about this story today. I saw this in a very simple interaction. I don't know anything more about this, but a teacher came by where we were eating lunch today, and a young man was with her. I don't know his age. I don't know his name. He's obviously here in the academy. And the teacher that passed the way of our lunch today stopped with the little boy and wanted us to congratulate the little boy because for the first time this school year, he had finished all of his lessons in the right day. And he had been given a sucker or a pack of M&Ms or something, I'm sure, that was, color-free, taste-free, and everything else like that in this day and age. But the teacher was so excited and wanted us to just for a moment dote on the youngster because he had a successful day. And then she walked out. We congratulated him. It was great. And then I said as he walked out, I leaned over to one of the guys and I said, yeah, kid, there's only 179 more of those days. Because you're like, woohoo, I got it. This was successful. Yeah, there's more. And in reality, whatever step or level that we're on for Almighty God, He has never designed any of our spiritual labors as a plateau. He has never said to us, now you've reached the point of ease. Well, I tell you what, if I ever get out of the fight and if I ever depart from Ephesians chapter 6 and putting on the full armor of God every day, I'm in real trouble, aren't I? You say, it would never happen to you at this age, or this would never happen, or the devil would never attack, or this kind of thing would never happen. No. There's no spiritual plateau for us. We are either stationary, there's no stationary position. We are either moving forward or we are moving back. And I surely want to be taking in the Word of God so that I'm moving forward and I'm getting more and more of Him. Keep in mind that when you got saved, you got all of the Holy Spirit that you're ever going to get. But I tell you what, every day is a challenge for the Holy Spirit to get more and more of us. That is a challenge. Because I know my flesh. And the Bible says that my flesh and my spirit are in constant warfare. So with all that being said, we could just say, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Or we can see Jordan as the next step that God has for us, and we can say, boy, I want to see what's on the other side. I may not be running from the enemy, but I am excited about what God has for me in the land of blessing. So we want to go through the Jordan River rules, and I pray this will be a help to you, and looking forward to this study. Jordan River rule number one, you've got your sheet there. Here's our first one. Realize that God means for you to move forward. Realize that God means for you to move forward. As I said to that youngster, congratulations, you did great today. You finished all of your assignments. I didn't hear Mr. Bradford come up and say, hey, this kid did really well. We're going to go ahead and give him his diploma today. He didn't get a diploma today. He finished one set of studies. The point is, we are always looking forward to that continuation of learning that we might be more like Christ and that we might be constantly moving towards that land of great blessing and being a part of that land of blessing. Now let's, as we consider this, realize that God means for you to move forward. Look at verses 1 and 2, Joshua chapter 1. By the way, this is one of my favorite books of the Bible. So many different angles that you could approach this great book from, but we're going to do it from this Jordan River rules. Look at verse number 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Boy, those are five great verses. If you're in the habit of underlining verses in the Bible, those would be five great verses to underline and to just put your name next to and say, boy, praise God. The same God that was on the throne with Joshua is the same God that's on the throne in 2022. Now, let's look at these things. Number one, if you've got those three different sections, we'll fill those out tonight. The first section is this, the stages of life. The stages of life. Now let's think for just a moment about the stages of life that there were there for Israel, okay? The stages of life for Israel. We go back to Numbers chapter 33 and verses 1 through 5, and the Bible says, these are the journeys of the children of Israel, which went forth out of the land of Egypt with their armies under the hand of Moses and Aaron, And Moses wrote their goings out according to their journeys by the commandment of the Lord. And these are their journeys according to their goings out. I would encourage you to mark that passage down. Numbers chapter 33, verses 1 through 5. Sometime in your devotions this week, go back and just read how they describe the journeys of the land or of the people of Israel. When we give some markers to the stages of life for Israel, perhaps we do it this way. There's from Egypt, and that would be from Joseph through the time of Moses. We would consider the deliverance of the Israelites or the exodus that occurred as they were brought out of the land of Egypt. And keep in mind, there was over 400 years between the time that they came down with Jacob and the family of 70 and the time that they left out of Egypt with perhaps more than 2 million. So 400 plus years have gone by from the time that they came down to the time that they came out. As we look at these stages of life, you've got Egypt from Joseph to Moses. You've got their deliverance. You have the time at Mount Sinai unto the edge of the promised land when Moses originally sent 12 spies to spy out the Canaan land. 10 were bad and 2 were good. Because they halted at the will of God to go into the promised land. Do you remember the story there? 10 of them said, no, we cannot be victorious in the land. 2 of them, Joshua and Caleb, stood up and said, yes, we can defeat them because God has given us the land. Well, they listened to the 10. And the Bible says that they disobeyed God. And so he had them wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. Again, if you look at the vicinity at which they wandered in the wilderness, it wasn't a very vast space. And yet they just circled and circled and circled and circled for 40 years. They wandered in the wilderness. Then we come to the edge of the promised land and the new leadership. We switch from Moses to Joshua. We have the conquering phase where Joshua leads them into the promised land and they overwhelm all of the major enemies in the land. Then it takes us into the time of the judges. Then we come into the time of the kings. I think you get the point, though. There are stages of life. Now think about this with me for a moment about the stages of life that we have, okay? So think for just a few moments about the stages of life that you've had personally, okay? So I would look at my life, and I think a lot of you would be much the same way. You'd look at your life, and I'd think to myself, okay, 0 to 5 is basically spent in the home. I'm learning some things and so forth. When I was young, the academy did not have K-3 and K-4. The teachers are probably thankful that they didn't have K-3 and K-4 at the time. And so first 5 years spent at home. The greatest gift my parents ever gave us was a little sister. At least that's what they said. And so that's kind of my first stage of life. Then you go K-5 through my senior year. I had all those years in the same school, a lot of different teachers, and I look at that stage of life. Then the day came that my parents said, yes, you're leaving our house. And they dropped me off in South Carolina, and I went to BJ for schooling. And so I had that stage of life. Spent a number of years there, graduated from college, went into the ministry. My wife and I got married. And now, you know what's amazing? This marriage stage of my life is longer than everything in which I wasn't married. And I'm like, where is that time gone? But as a part of this time, since I've been out of school, God has given to us 2 sons. We've had that stage of our lives where we're watching them grow up through their toddler years, and we're doing it all over again from what my folks did for us. Now we're entering another stage of life. One is getting ready to set sail on his own ship with a first mate, if you would. And he's excited about that. And our other one, we're just praying that God will continue to direct his life. But we're getting ever closer to that day where it's just the 2 of us. And I'm looking for that condominium with no more grass to mow and no more weeds to pull and all that kind of stuff. And we're entering a different stage of life. Now you think with me Or you think about your own stages, and I'm sure in many ways your stages probably mirror mine, but maybe you're at a different stage or you're farther ahead of me, but all of us have these stages of life. God has designed each of these stages for a specific purpose. Now, have you ever looked at one stage of your life and said, "Boy, I wish I could go back and do that stage before I did this stage"? Now, I know this would never happen because Mr. Bradford doesn't want any of them back. I know how it is. I'm just kidding. But I always thought to myself, after I did my freshman year of college, I wish I could have then gone back and done my senior year of high school. You say, why in the world would you want to go back to your senior year of high school after your freshman year of college? It's because when you get into your freshman year of college, you realize, boy, you know what? There's a bunch of stuff back in my senior year of high school that really didn't matter. And I put all my stock in those baskets, and now it doesn't matter at all. I think I would have gone back and I would have had a lot better senior year if I didn't put so much stock in some of the stuff that we just think is, oh, it's so important to think on those things. Have you ever thought, hey, if I could go back and do this stage again, I would do it differently because of the things I've learned in this stage or in a following stage? It's perhaps possible. Stages of life. God has every one of those stages designed for a purpose. I had a stage of my life, for example, that was spent in the youth pastorate. And I thought, man, when the day comes that I can finally be in the pastorate, all my problems will be solved. Because I had whining teenagers, I had late night activities, all night activities, long trips in the church van, hundreds of thousands of miles, and I mean that, in a church van, and I just thought, Lord, please, just give me the desk and the chair and just let me pour my heart into studying. Let me be a pastor. Oh my, do I dream of the days of being a youth pastor. You realize that when you become the pastor, you have to deal with all the parents of the teenagers. And suddenly the teenagers that you thought were whining at everything, it begins to make sense. I'm just kidding. You think about your stages of life. What are the stages that you're in right now? What are the stages that if God should allow you to continue to live, what are the stages that you think you're going to experience? Think about the stage of life for a parent that has a daughter. Oh, it's easy to give sons away, but you've got girls. And so you're thinking right now, my daughter's not getting married until she's 47. You know, I'm not giving them away. With your sons, you're like, hey, buddy, you're 18 tomorrow. Who you marrying? You know, get out kind of thing, you know. I know how it is with boys. But those of you guys that have daughters, that's a much different thing. All these stages, and let me just say to you tonight, God was directing each of the stages for the people of Israel. There's not one stage that Israel went through in that God wasn't with them. So God's with them for those years. He took Joseph to Egypt for the express purpose of delivering Israel through the famine years. And God blessed them and blessed them and blessed them. And God was with them when the Pharaoh arose that knew not Joseph. God was with them in those horrific days. When their backs were given to the taskmasters, God was with them. When they had the journeys out and they experienced the manna and the quail that would come in every single one of those stages. You say, well, they really had some dark issues during the stage of the judges. Yes, they did, but God was still with them. Stages of life. Now, here's number two. Let's break it down further. We have stages of life, and we can look at the grandness of our stages and whatever stage we're in. But then number two is our steps, the steps of life. Okay, within every single stage, there are individual steps. There are individual steps. Okay, for you, perhaps You were in high school and you were deciding between going immediately into a career or going and getting more education. Perhaps you chose the career, perhaps you chose more education. Whatever the choice was, that was a step within a stage. Now, I won't ask this of each of you individually, but let's think for a moment. When you were in that stage of life in which you were involved in courtship, were you ever involved with more than one boyfriend or girlfriend? Would you look back and you'd say, okay, I dated the same person from the time I started dating until I got married, and I married my high school sweetheart. Perhaps there's some that would say that. Perhaps there's some others that would say, oh my, I went out with this girl, I went out with this girl, or I accepted the invitation from this guy and that guy and that guy. That's the matter of steps within a stage. And somewhere along the line, if you chose to get married, you said, I'm happy with this step, and I want to stay in this stage with this individual. And you made the choice. A lot of things can happen within a stage, right? I'll never forget graduating from school, and I had a church, I don't know if you've ever heard, of a small town, Lancaster, South Carolina. It's not far from Rock Hill. It's not far from maybe Columbia. You'd maybe know that name, Columbia, South Carolina. And there was a church there that I'd gone to on extension, and they needed a pastor. And I was 22, 21 years old, and they wanted me to come and pastor their church at 21. The sign that they had said this: the distance is worth the difference. This place was in the middle of nowhere. And I thought to myself, it's been nice to go there on extension. I had dear friends that were in the church, but I just thought, Lord, do you really want me taking over a pastorate at 21, right out of Bible college? I know a number of the people, but is this really where you want me to be? It's a nice hometown, I guess, but I was just like, I just don't know that that's how God would direct. And so he directed me more into a youth pastorate position at another location. Steps within our stage. Okay? We all have stages. We all have steps. Let's talk a little bit more about those steps. As we consider life stages and then the steps that are within the life stages, the Bible says in Psalm 37:23, listen to this: the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. So what are my stages made up of? My stages are all made up of different individual steps that I took. I've told you this story, I think, before of my mom and dad. My dad moved here as a single adult back in the early 60s. And he was living in Buffalo, New York at the time. And they had an FBI agent that was a part of the church there. And he, through different circumstances, helped my dad to get hired by the FBI there in the early 60s. And so dad was working on his accounting degree, and he had every intention of going as an agent for the FBI. But he got his foot in the door and was continuing his education. I think my dad said that back in the day, J. Edgar Hoover was either looking for, at times he was looking for attorneys, and at times he was looking for accountants. And my dad was kind of on the accountant side of things, and so he moved here in the early 60s. With one of his first paychecks, he went out and bought a brand new Mustang, and I think it was a 64 and a half Mustang. And my dad was dating a young lady by the name of Susie. And been dating her for a little bit and so forth. And my dad bought a brand new Mustang here in Washington, D.C. And he went to pick up his girlfriend, Susie. Well, she wasn't there, but her roommate was there. Her roommate was my mom, Margaret. And so my dad pulls up in his brand new Mustang and says, I'm going for a ride here in Washington, D.C. and I'm going to just enjoy the sights in this brand new Mustang. And he said, I'd like someone to go with me. He said, my girlfriend's not here. Why don't you ride? And so my mom went for a ride there, and they enjoyed the evening. And lo and behold, they get back to the trailer that they lived in out off of Route 1. And my dad drops my mom off after that date. And, well, it wasn't a date, but you know what I'm saying. And my mom goes in and pretends to go to bed because shortly after she had arrived, Susie came in. But she didn't want Susie to know that she'd been out with my dad that night. Again, they're all single adults. Mom had moved here from the Midwest, working in a bank, dad working in the FBI. And lo and behold, mom pretends to be asleep. So Susie comes in, goes to bed. They get up the next morning and they're having breakfast, and Susie says something like this. She says, you know, I've had a nice friendship with Dave, but I'm going to break it off. And my mom said, well, that's terrible. And so she broke up with my dad. My dad wasn't too bent out of shape because he had already kind of made a connection with my mom. And we look back at that now and we're like, man, you know, our mom could have been Susie. But she's not. Our mom is Margaret. And Margaret is from Iowa. And so we grew up with this dynamic of upstate New York and Iowa being partnered together. How does a kid from Binghamton, New York and Buffalo, New York meet a girl from Forest City, Iowa in the middle of Washington, D.C.? You know what? Stage of life, steps of life. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Was it a coincidence that the scenario did not work out as my dad had originally designed at the time? No. It wasn't at all a coincidence. God was working in each of those steps. Now listen, I'm not sharing with you anything that's just beyond miraculous, because you could communicate tonight, if I called on each one of you, you could look back at your stages of life and you could say, I remember when I was in this stage and I took this step and this is how God orchestrated things after that. Boy, isn't it amazing when you look back at stages and steps to see God at work, the steps of life. Within each stage, we have these steps. Now listen to this verse. This is very key. Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Generally speaking, we have this large stage to life, but it's broken down into individual steps. Am I going to take a step and pastor at 21 in Lancaster, South Carolina? No, I didn't believe that was the step God had for me. And so I took this step and I went down to Lakeland, Florida. And then I, from that step, took this step and this step. You could do the exact same thing because we're all comprised of stages and steps. Now let's talk about this for just a moment. Do you have any steps that you regretted? Oh, man. I think there's probably some steps that I would look back at and I'd say, boy, I don't like how I took that step. But here's the wonderful part. God was still at work in the stage. And I might have taken a misstep. I'll tell you about one misstep. The university had asked me to be a hall monitor the next year. If you were a hall monitor, you had a major portion of your bill paid and you had to do the work overseeing the hall and everything. I think now they're called, RAs or something like that. They've changed the vernacular now. But I was scheduled and I was tracking towards being a hall monitor my senior year. And I did something stupid. I worked off campus on a Sunday afternoon at the mall, and here's the kicker, without permission. I still went to church in the morning, I still went to church in the evening, but I did not get permission, according to the university, to be working off campus on that Sunday. And somebody, I guess, saw me and turned me in, and so I got 50 demerits. 50 demerits for it. And I remember the dean of men, he called, and I don't think I was you know, Joe Rebel in the university. I don't think I got a total of 50 demerits the rest of the time I was there, but I got called up to the dean of men, and he said, "Todd, did you work on Sunday?" And I said, "Yes, sir, I did." And he said, "Why'd you do that?" I said, "Well, the store needed someone on that Sunday, and I just went and did it, and I didn't figure you let me, and so I just figured it's just better to go and just do it, you know." He said, "Well, if they really needed you, if you would have just asked, I'd probably have given you permission." Well, if I'd have known you were going to give me permission, I would have never done that, you know. But here's what happened. Because I got 50 demerits, they would not let me hold that position of leadership the next semester. And so where in my mind I was tracking towards being in this dorm and being over a hall and everything was working that way, I had to have one of my good friends come to me. I think it's what's funny is he's the dean of men now. But he had to come to me and tell me, "Hey, since you got this amount of demerits at one time, you can't hold that leadership position the next year." So it kind of ended that prospect. But I look back at it and I'm like, man, I didn't have to do that. But at the same time, I was in that stage of life, and I actually had a step that I shouldn't have taken because I did wrong and I got demerits for it. But God was so good to me my senior year. And I look back at it now and I'm like, Lord, thank you for not making me be a hall leader that year. I had a great roommate. We had a great friendship. He's still a dear friend of mine today. I was in a much better dorm. I loved the dorm I was in. I loved my dorm soup. Loved everything about it. And I look back now and I say, yes, I misstepped. Yes, I faced the consequences for that misstep. But God was still good to me. And even through my sin, God was still merciful and gracious to me. I dare say that there are those of you that could give testimony tonight. You could say, in this stage of life, I took this misstep, which if I could go back, I'd take a different step from the retrospect that I have now, but God was still merciful. Now, do not take that next step unless the Bible is guiding your footsteps. I've challenged my boys over and over again with this thought. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I ask my boys over and over again, are you a good man? Not asking them about perfection. I'm not asking them about, you know, their own righteousness or anything like that. Don't misunderstand. But I just want to keep in front of them, the Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Are you the man, the woman for Christ that He would have you to be? And through His Word, He's guiding your every step. Boy, stages of life, steps of life. Let me give you one more. And this is the wonderful part of it as we consider this early stage here, Joshua chapter 1. I do want to show you a couple of things. Here's the third one. This is the singular nature of God's leading. The singular nature of God's leading. So we have the grand stages, and we all have stages. Within those stages, we have steps. Israel had stages from Egypt to the edge of the Jordan, on the other side of the Jordan, into the judge period, into the king period. They had all these stages, but within those stages, they had steps. And God wanted them to continue to move forward, 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 forward. God has stages for us. God has steps for us. But there's a singular nature to His leading. In other words, your steps are not my steps. My steps are not your steps. God leads us in a very singular way. So, let's read a couple of passages tonight. I want you to see this firsthand. So if you'll hold your hand, your finger here in Joshua chapter 1, I want to see if you see a contrast here in the passage. Now I know both of these are encouraging, but I want to see if you see the same thing that I see, and I hope this will be an encouragement to you tonight. So you're holding your fingers there in Joshua chapter 1. This first river rule is God wants us to move forward, okay? Deuteronomy chapter 31, look at verses 6 through 8. I'll refresh your memory just very quickly. Deuteronomy is a book of remembrance. Time and again, Moses wants the people to remember. Remember, 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 remember. Isn't it interesting that there are people in our country that want us to forget everything about our country? Forget, 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 forget. God says, remember, 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 all right? I want you to remember these things, okay? In Deuteronomy chapter 31, I want you to see very clearly that this is Moses speaking to the people and speaking to Joshua. And I know this would have been encouragement to me. This would have been a huge encouragement. So read with me, if you would, these verses. Deuteronomy 31, verses 6 through 8. Did you write that in your notes? Here's Moses speaking. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, Be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them. And thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee, he will not fail thee, neither forsake thee, fear not, neither be dismayed. Now, I'm telling you what, I can't imagine that Joshua wasn't standing there covered in goosebumps, just listening to the greatness of the man. The Lord is going to be with you. The Lord is going to direct your path. He will not leave you. He will be with you every step of the way. I can't imagine that Joshua wasn't just energized by what Moses was saying. Now go back with me, if you would, to Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 5, and let me see if you see the difference. And boy, this is something for us to think on. Joshua chapter 1. Well, let's read. We need to read something very critical in Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 1. After the death of Moses, this is verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua. Verse number 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Now, can I just tell you tonight that it's one thing for me to tell a youngster, hey, you're going to be okay. Your dad's going to be with you the whole way. It's another thing entirely when the dad steps in the room and they realize dad is with me the whole way. It's one thing to read Deuteronomy 31 and to have Moses tell Joshua, Joshua, God's going to be with you as he's been with me. Joshua, don't be afraid. Joshua, don't fear. Joshua, move forward. Joshua, do all that God wants you to do. Joshua, God is going to be with you. It's another thing entirely when God speaks directly to Joshua and says, don't be afraid. Be of good courage. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. Do you see a difference there? How many times do I have a fellow believer that says to me, don't be afraid, Pastor. Don't fret. Don't fear. Don't worry. How many times do you have that kind of a friend or someone that comes alongside and just gives you that shot in the arm and you're thinking to yourself, boy, that's what I needed. But oh my, it's so much different when God speaks to us, isn't it? And I know it's not in an audible voice. It's not because we had anchovies on a pizza last night and we just had this, you know, vision or anything. I know it's not like that. But boy, how often does he speak to us through his word? And boy, when we see it directly from the Heavenly Father, it just is so significant. And I say to all of us tonight, God's leadership in your stations of life or in your different, what's the word again? I forgot it there already. Your stages of life, in your steps of life, God is specifically directing you. He has the very hairs of our head numbered. He has the design for every step we're going to take. He knows the beginning from our end. And if we do what God wants us to do by walking faithfully and obediently in His path, we'll reach the end of our life and we'll say with the Apostle Paul, I have finished my course. I don't know about your course. I don't know about all that God wants you to do. And here's the great thing. I'm not in competition with any of you. I've just been called to run my race. And it's singular in nature. God knows what He wants you to do. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 14, the Apostle Paul said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Boy, wouldn't it be great if every believer at FBT just said this, I want to be exactly what God wants me to be. Wouldn't it be great? Oh, no, that's just for you, preacher. You're in the pulpit. No, I believe that's for everyone. I believe that God has something specific for everyone. The Apostle Paul said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul, or perhaps another writer, said in Hebrews chapter 13, in verse number 5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. It's one thing to hear from an Old Testament saint that there's a singular nature to God's direction in our stages and in our specific steps. It's another thing for God to speak directly to us and to say, hey, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Well, what is God doing in this stage of your life? Well, Pastor, tonight we're in the stage of our life where we're parenting. Okay? Are there challenges in parenting? Yes, there's challenges in parenting. Oh, my. Oh, the challenges that you face today. Things even that I didn't face with our boys. Challenges that we didn't face, that parents face today. Oh, there's a lot of challenges in parenting. Well, Pastor, we're in the grandparenting stage. Oh, there's challenges in grandparenting. No doubt. Well, Pastor, we're empty nesters, or, you know, you fill in the blank. Whatever the stage is. Let me ask you tonight, what stage are you in? Is God doing all that He wants to do in that stage? Are there steps that He has for you? Sometimes we're afraid to take those steps. But God says, hey, I want you to move forward. You see, we're not running from the enemy now that we're at the edge of the Jordan. We're not pressed by the armies of Egypt. We could sit and rest on our laurels and just say, you know what, I'm pretty content with where I've come. I'll just stay here. No, God says, I want you to move forward. And I want you to take the steps that I want you to take. God deals with each of us as individuals and in an individual way. And He loves us and guides us according to His own precious will. Jordan River rule number one. Realize that God means for you to move forward. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so very much for our time in this passage tonight. And it did so much for me in preparation and study as I considered the words of Moses and how he was desirous of encouraging Joshua and what that must have meant to Joshua here towards the end of Moses' life. And have Moses say to him, hey, God's going to be with you. But then we read that opening verse and the Bible says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Would the truth that he had spoken die with him? No. Because God stepped in and spoke to Joshua and said, I will be with thee whithersoever thou goest. Be strong and of a good courage. Move forward. Whatever stage our folks are in tonight, would you encourage them? whatever steps that you have for them in those next days within that stage, would you guide them? And then, Lord, I do pray that as you work with all of us in a very special, significant, and singular way, that we would just recognize you've been with us through it all. And I pray when we reach the end of this journey, our individual journey, that we'll be able to look back as the Apostle Paul did. We'll be able to say, I have finished my course. Thank you so much for the investment these folks have made tonight. And we pray your hand of blessing upon them through the remaining part.